Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of the mind of human beings what God has prepared. Listen, God has prepared it. One thing, when you and I die in Christ and have been resurrected with Him into heaven, one thing we know, that we will see God. That's the first thing we know. We will see God. What's something else we know? This may not interest you, but I think it's interesting to me. We know there'll be animals in heaven.
The truth is, heaven will be the best reunion ever. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young begins his message, "Will We Know People in Heaven?" and shares how in heaven you'll see everything and everyone through God's eyes. That message is coming up on The Winning Walk. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Will We Know People in Heaven?
And we've already discovered that heaven is a place. I go to prepare a place for you. And we know when the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a prelude to the coming back of Jesus Christ, when the curtain of history will come down, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the will of God that takes place on heaven will now take place on earth, and there will be a new existence. The closest we can understand would be the Garden of Eden, but it'll even be a better place and a more magnificent place than that. A new heaven, a new earth. Heaven is a place. Jesus says, I go and prepare a place for you. Number two, in heaven, those who are in Christ will have resurrected bodies. Prototype would be the resurrected body of Jesus. We talked about that. So we'll be in a supernatural world with a supernatural body. Then we said, well, what will this be like? And we went through a long list of things, but most of all, it will be like a life of opportunity in which all of our dreams that you have, all the goals that you have, all the ideas that I have, all of those things you would like to follow through and didn't, all of that will come together in timeless heaven, because we'll have eternal time, not chronological man's time, and we'll be able to put it all together and pursue all of that in a magnificent fashion throughout all eternity. That's what it will be like in heaven. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of the mind of human beings what God has prepared. Listen, God has prepared it for those who have fallen in love with him. And then we come to the point that we ask, well, what will we know about heaven? What do we know for sure about heaven? Perhaps you noticed in the news that 007, Roger Moore, died this past Tuesday. He was 89 years old. He made, what, 7 or 8 different movies, all of them very popular. He was man with a gun. He was a man who was a spy for Great Britain, but pretended to be a spy, but actually conquered all the spies. He had a license to kill, you remember, the Ian Fleming novels that were put on the screen. 007, James Bond, died. Before he died, back in 2002, somebody asked Roger Moore, that's who he was, Roger, what is your concept of life after death? Let me paraphrase his answer. He said, I believe we'll go into a room and there we'll have a door, and the key to that door will be the fact that we have died, and we'll take the key of death and open that door and go inside to some sort of existence that we don't know a whole lot about and we can only imagine or dream of. That's his concept of life after life. He's not far off from what you can read or hear from a lot of philosophies, a lot of religions. If you're a Hindu, you'll have the idea that you'll be reincarnated. You'll come back as something else or something other or something more or something less. You'll be going up the scale or down the scale, all of those subjective evaluations that have no basis of reality or evidence. Eastern religions say primarily we go back to some kind of mist and we absorb into the holy other up there, out there, over there. So there's all kinds of concepts of life after life. So I thought we'd just sit down and discover what we know about heaven. Now, first of all, let me drop back and ask you a question. When you die, do you think immediately, if you're a Christian, that you will know everything? Some people think that. You will not. I will not. Some have equated heaven with divinity. You see, we are not omniscient now, are we? Do we know everything now? No. And we'll not be omniscient when we die. We'll not be omnipresent everywhere when we die. We'll not be omnipotent, have all power. These are assets that the divine God and the divine God has. We will not have that when they die. So therefore, when we die, we'll not know everything. And I say, thank God for that. Man, that's beyond our pay scale. We're not have the capacity. We don't want the responsibility. God alone has that responsibility of being omniscient, all-knowing. You'll not know everything when you die. Some people go to 1 Corinthians 13, we see through a glass darkly, then we'll see face to face, and we will know as we have been known, but that doesn't mean our knowing will be omniscient. You'll not know everything when you die. There may be a revelation of this through eternity. I don't know. There's verses that point to that fact. But when you die, you won't know everything. But let me tell you what you will know. And we've talked about this already. One thing, when you and I die in Christ and have been resurrected with him into heaven, one thing we know, that we will see God. That's the beatific vision you've heard about or maybe read about in some old theologians. And there's been a question that's been asked, very interesting question. I'll ask it to you. When you die, if you had the choice of having everything forever you've ever imagined. Did you get that? You die, here's a choice. You can have everything you've ever imagined forever and forever and forever and just stack it up, enjoy it, live with it forever. You get it all when you die. That's one choice, but you never get to see God. You get it all, but you never see God. You better think about that one for a while. I've thought about it many, many times. I come back to the same conclusion. Listen, heaven will not be heaven unless we get to see God. All of the confectionaries, all the other things that we can imagine and do and accomplish won't amount to anything after the first 2 or 4 billion years. The ultimate is to see God. We've looked a little bit about what heaven is going to be like. Remember the description there in Revelation 21 and 22? Remember how they would have a holy city, New Jerusalem, a new country, a new constitution. And it's a magnificent thing. And then we talked about in the main street of heaven, there would be the river of life that would go all the way up to the throne. The Lamb of God would be on that throne. And the river is a symbol of the Holy Spirit in the main. It's a clear, deep river. It's a symbol of pleasure and prosperity right in the main street of heaven. And on either side of the river will be the tree of life. Remember the Garden of Eden? There was a tree of life and there was prohibited from eating of the fruit of that tree. Now we can eat of the fruit of that tree. And the leaves of that tree bring us healing. So this is a beautiful figure of something of the glory and the majesty and the health and the presence of that river flowing right down through the main street of heaven. And then the Bible tells us about the city. Remember what the foundation was? The foundation of heaven, the foundation of the holy city, the foundation of the New Jerusalem, it is based on the apostles, the 12 apostles. The 12 gates around the city are based and named after the 12 prophets, the 12 forefathers there in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of that crew, the family of Jacob. And so we see the Old Testament and New Testament is brought together on the base of the foundation and the 12 gates. And now we go in the city and there is the Lamb that is on the throne. And then at the bottom line, you read in the fourth verse of chapter number 22 of Revelation, it says, "We will see God and the name of God will be written on their foreheads." Let me deal with the name of God. It disturbs me today when we do not take the name of God and keep it sacred and keep it holy. When you say, "Oh God," well, I don't mean anything by that. It is a form of profanity. When we say, "We're going to have a come to Jesus meeting," that is irreverence. Irreverence. We have to be so careful how we use humor when we bring God in our humor. So we lose something. We take God and make him sort of a pedestrian thing as a product of humor, as a product of our conversation, as our product of our expletives that we say. Man, people, "Jesus Christ, I didn't mean anything by that." Oh, yes. You are bringing down the holiness and the majesty and the awesomeness of the Almighty. So we need to be very, very careful this with our lives, the lives of our children and our grandchildren, because it's pretty, to say, oh, God, listen. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We have to be careful. In our generation, it is almost a part of our culture. Then it says, "We will see God." Who can see God? We've talked about that. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Anybody who's pure in heart today, would you stand up? I want to recognize you. No, we're not pure in heart, are we? My heart is not pure. Your heart is not pure. So how will we ever see God? We begin to see him in this life. This is where it begins. The purity of Christ must come into you and must come into me. This helps our motivation. It helps us understand, helps us to see God in life, in our life, in the lives of others, in this life. How does purity come to us? He goes right back to the cross, doesn't it? Right back to the cross. Max Lucado said, the verse in the Bible that he hates and despises more than any other verse, and it says when Jesus on the cross, and he says, my God, why have you abandoned me? I thought about that. That is a devastating verse, isn't it? My God, why? Here is Jesus asking a question. That doesn't sound like Jesus, does it? I and my Father are one. My meat is to do the will of the Father. If you know me, you know the Father, you know the Father, you know me. How he walked 24/7 with his Heavenly Father in that wonderful, wonderful relationship. Now in the moment of great extremity, Jesus, divinity wrapped up in human flesh, shamed, embarrassed, nailed, crucified. His moment of extremity, God turned his back on him. And Jesus says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Makes no sense, does it? When Jesus spoke, usually you put an exclamation point after it. Come forth. Be healed. Stretch out. Come out. You see, there's an exclamation point. Now we have this why? What's that all about? We like it better when John the Baptist looked at Jesus, young, beginning his ministry, walking toward the Jordan, and he said, behold the Lamb of God. Boy, I like that. Look at the Lamb of God. How magnificent. What's the rest of the verse? Who takes away the sin of the world? Takes away the sin of the world. How do you feel when you're wallowing in sin? I've been there. You've been there. What's it like? We feel alone, we feel estranged, we feel abandoned. That's how Jesus felt when he took your sin and my sin upon himself on that cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? When we have sin in our life, we feel abandoned. But the good news, Jesus was abandoned by the Father so that you and I might be forgiven, and we will not be abandoned for our sin because he has paid the price in total for your sin and for mine. Behold, the Lamb of God which came and takes your sin and mine upon himself. Oh, we begin to understand what that verse is all about. The Heavenly Father cannot look on impurity. He can look only on purity, and we become pure when we receive Christ. His righteousness is poured in us. That's how purity comes. And then in this life, when we do that, then we have to live a life of obedience and a life of discipline, not perfection, but a life of discipline. In 1992, Stanford University, that little school in California, the sociology department engaged on an interesting test. It's called the Marshmallow Experience. And what they did, they took almost 600 kids, aged 5 to 7, and they took them over a period of months into a room one at a time, and they would play with them and let the kids feel comfortable. And then they would sit a kid down, age 5 to 7, this category, put a marshmallow in front of the kid. And they would explain to that young kid, look, you can eat that marshmallow right now anytime you want to, or you can wait 10 minutes and I will come back in the room and give you a second marshmallow. Eat it now, you don't get a second marshmallow. You wait, you'll get that marshmallow and one more after that. So they left the room, came back in 10 minutes, and they saw the children who waited to get the second marshmallow. Now, this is very, very interesting. They have traced since 1972 all of those kids out of that study group all the way to 2012 to see what kind of life they had as they practiced as a young kid delayed gratification. Hold on to those words, delayed gratification. And the study results were astounding. After 40 years, they saw that those kids made better grades in school, had more successful marriages. Their kids turned out, way better than other kids. In their vocation, whether it was a blue-collar or a white-collar job, all of them achieved and moved ahead in life after a 40-year study. What was the secret? Delayed gratification. You can have the marshmallow now, or you can wait and you can have two. Ladies and gentlemen, every time we make decisions in life, we should think in terms of the marshmallow test, the marshmallow experience, because I can tell you, God's blessing is usually wrapped up in that second marshmallow. A disciplined life. Receive Christ, purity comes, sanctification. We begin to walk in discipline, and the result is a life that is full and meaningful, and we begin to know something about purity, clean hands, pure heart, motives, thoughts, lifestyle, habits. So that's where we start. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. A little bit in light in this life, in people and events, but in heaven we'll see him face to face. That's the first thing we know. We will see God.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
For I'm confident of this thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6. My dad owned and ran a country store, and every year we'd close it down to take inventory. It was a tough job because we had to count every single thing in the store. You know, sometimes we need to be bold enough to take time out and close the store of our life and take a searching inventory of where we are and what we are about. Listen, if you're tired of what I call comfortable Christianity and truly want to grow and get into higher ground with God, you need to take a personal inventory, not tomorrow, but right now. Get by yourself, just you and the Lord, and invite him to shine the light of his truth into every corner of your life. Whew, that's difficult. It's challenging. It's exacting, and it takes courage. But it will be a thrilling step toward freedom and victory. And it'll just make your daily walk with God fresh, new, clean, and invigorating.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who he is, what he did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Young wraps up his message with more proven truth from God's Word about the relationships you'll have in heaven.